Back to our conversations in just a second. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. How do they do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality at all. As a result, you're going to get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality award-winning wines at a huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker. I love the variety. I love trying new things. I've got my family turned on to this. It is something that I am so happy exists, and the savings are wonderful. Naked Wines has been around for about 10 years now and funds over 90 independent winemakers with no commitments or membership fees. You can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part is, since you listen to the show, I have a promo code for you. Who doesn't like a promo code? So head to nakedwines.com/ghost and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in ghost for both the code and password and get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/ghost and use code and password ghost and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/ghost, code and password ghost for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
For as long as I can remember, I've been able to sense things. But don't let me get ahead of myself. My mom, Mary, my grandma, Genevieve, are what some people may call mediums or seers. I have one brother, 2 sisters. My father, Tom, is a non-believer. Out of all of us kids, I was the only one to receive Mom and Grandma's gift. Sometimes I sense things more than I see them. My mom grew up in a haunted house on the outskirts of St. Mary's, Ohio. The house bordered 2 cemeteries on Webb Street. She told me that she really hated being there alone, and it didn't matter if it was day or night. There were always noises, not the usual house-settling ones either. She said it was anything from loud breathing to footsteps to knockings. Grandma had always thought that some of the spiritual occupants came from the nearby cemeteries. Grandma grew up in a haunted house also. Grandma told me that her mom had worked for a psychic who told her that there was a curse put on the house because her dad mocked the supernatural. In the beginning, her dad would be eating, find darning needles and horseshoe nails in his food. This continued until the suggestion of a psychic. He put a horseshoe up on the north wall of every room and above every doorway. He quickly became a believer himself after that. Mom told me that one night when she was a teenager, she was home alone, kept hearing knocking noises, so she decided to try to sleep on the couch until Grandma and her brothers and sisters got home. She got settled on the couch when she suddenly started hearing loud breathing that kept getting louder and louder as if it was getting closer to her. It seemed to be coming from the corner of the room, way up by the ceiling. She got up, turned all the lights on, but to no avail, loud breathing continued. And when she felt the pressure of an invisible hand on her, she decided she'd had enough and went outside to sit on the porch to wait for her family. Grandma thought there were several poltergeists among several spirits inhabiting the home with them. They were always seeing spirit people, hearing unexplainable noises, putting up with items always being moved or misplaced. Mom was sort of the middle child of the family. She has 2 older brothers, 2 older sisters, and a younger brother. She had an older brother and sister that passed away when they were very young. One time, when Mom was 13, she and all her siblings were in the front room reading. She said the front room was right off the entryway by the front door. Grandma was in the basement doing laundry that day. Mom said, close to the hall entry, there was an end table that contained a lamp and the family Bible. Stacked on top of the Bible were a couple of books and some magazines. All of a sudden, the books and magazines fell on the floor as if someone flung them off. The cover of the Bible opened and stayed up as if someone was holding it vertical to the table. Then slowly the pages of the Bible started opening. They all screamed and ran past the table as that was the only way out of the room. As they passed it, the pages continued to lift and be held by an unseen hand against the cover. They ran to Grandma down in the basement, screaming the entire way. She asked them what happened, why they were so riled up. They told her, and then realized that their youngest brother was already down there. He was upstairs with them. There's no way he had passed any of them on his way down. Mom said he was still sitting by the table with the Bible when the rest of them jumped up and took off running. They have no idea who was in that room with them that looked like their little brother, because Grandma had told them that he had been downstairs with her the entire time. Grandma lost her first child when he was about a year old. She and a friend were talking while her son was taking a nap in his crib. Grandma said she suddenly started getting a peculiar feeling, and a sudden feeling of peace. It was then that she noticed a small gray feather floating in the room. It floated up then behind a wood stove and then continued through the room about shoulder height. It floated past the fireplace mantle and then disappeared around the corner. She got up and followed it. The feather floated into her son's room and landed in his crib. She knew then that it wouldn't be long before the angels would come for her baby. Marvin passed away 2 days later. He'd come down with a high fever, with his condition deteriorating rapidly until he passed away. I asked her about the feather. She told me the feather had just disappeared while it was in his crib. This too all happened at the house on Webb Street. Grandma lost her first husband several years later. The kids all hated to walk home in the dark because they always had to pass one of the cemeteries. One night they saw a man sitting on the fence by the railroad tracks near the oldest of the cemeteries. Mom said he looked like a hobo, but was creepy looking because you could see through him. They all took off running and ran all the way home. The house also had a ghost dog and a ghost child about the age of my mom's late brother, Marvin. She said the dog was a beautiful German shepherd. The dog showed up the day she brought me as a day's old baby to the house. She thought maybe it was either my guardian or spirit guide for me. First day it showed up, she had laid on her old bed with me to take a nap. She heard the dog walk into the room, heard the paw falls on the carpet, and it's panting. The dog walked around the bed to the side she had me on and sat down on the floor next to the bed. The dog was as plain as day, the most beautiful German shepherd she had ever seen. It was sitting on the floor just watching me. She got up thinking perhaps company had come over with their pet. As she sat on the edge of the bed with her back to the dog, she noticed the paw impression in the carpet. She stood up, turned towards the dog, getting the shock of her life when it was now solid white and starting to fade away. After that, the dog only made appearances when she had me there at that house. Grandma never saw or experienced a dog. That's why Mom felt the dog may have been my personal guardian in that spooky old house. It was also during this time that the ghost child first showed up. It, too, would only make its presence known when Mom had me there. She said she'd always hear the child walking or running in the hallway, or it would walk into the bedroom where she would be lying down with me. Grandma also experienced the ghost child and felt it was her late son, Marvin. Sometimes they would hear it giggle or play with some invisible toy. They both had the impression that the child was only about 1 or 2 years old. Numerous incidents, more than you can even count, have occurred there since the beginning. As a kid, I could always sense when a presence was close. Grandma moved from that spooky old house into a trailer in another part of St. Mary's when she was in her 50s. The trailer, as you can guess, also contained a spirit. This one wasn't as evil or mean like some of the ones that lived in the house on Webb Street, though. Grandma also knew this ghost was there. She felt it was an old man, but never explained why she thought that. Sometimes the feeling would be so strong that it would scare me, even though I knew it would not hurt me. It was perhaps curious of me. I stayed with my grandma every weekend and during every break from school, so it was a lot of time I was spending with her. We'd always hear knockings there. One Sunday morning when I was about 8 years old, while Grandma and I were still in bed talking, we heard 3 loud, distinct knocks on the front door. I jumped up to look out the window by the door, only to see absolutely nothing. There's no one at the front door. Grandma asked me if I realized that the loud knocks were in fact on the wood door and not the screen door. I did then, and it kind of scared me. It didn't bother Grandma at all. She laughed about it. She just said good morning to whoever it was, then got up to start her day. She didn't think it really mattered. It didn't matter where I was out of the trailer. I felt the presence there constantly. Sometimes it felt like it was following me around. But Grandma told me he was there all the time. This ghost would warn Grandma about things like the day she left a pan on the gas stove and forgot to shut the burner off. She left the room and all of a sudden started hearing this horrible clanging of pots, all sorts of noises coming from the kitchen. When she went to investigate, she found what she had done and realized that her pan was about to catch fire. There was no explanation of the noises as she was home by herself. She figured the ghost friend was warning her. Living in the trailer, her greatest fear was a fire because it doesn't take long for a fire to totally engulf and destroy one of those. When I was 7 years old, we had moved into a new house that Dad had built just special for our family. Since there were so many of us, we had to share bedrooms. My younger sister is about 6 years younger than me, so we had to share a room while our two other siblings were in another room on bunk beds. The foot of my bed was towards the door and straight into the room from the doorway. My sister was on the opposite side of the room with the foot part of her bed facing my head. This one night, I was having a nightmare. I had a dream that the only place for all of us kids to play was a cemetery. The dead people were in coffins but weren't buried under the ground. Instead, the coffins were on top of the ground with glass shields over the top of them. If the glass got broke, the shards would come up and kill you. We had no place else to play in this dream. There was a group of us playing with a large pink ball. I was by my best friend when she accidentally dropped the ball, hitting a grave. Right before the glass shards got to us, I woke up in a sweat, wide awake. I lie on my left side looking over at my sister sleeping in her bed. I started looking around the room when something kept trying to get me to look at the doorway. I looked that direction and saw a woman. She was solid white, not see-through, and she was tall and filled the doorway. She had on either an old wedding dress or a Victorian-era dress that the collar was up under her chin and really fancy-looking. She was looking right at me and acted like she was going to say something to me. I screamed as loud as I could, waking Mom up, who ran into the room. As Mom came through the doorway, she went right through the lady, who immediately disappeared. Mom asked me what was wrong, and I told her about that lady. She had not seen her at all. In our living room, we had an old cuckoo clock that Mom had brought back with her from the time when she lived in Germany. The clock didn't work. So many times we would be sitting in the living room when it would go off by itself after the hands would move by themselves by some unseen finger. Sometimes the pendulums at the bottom would just start moving by themselves. Most always, this would occur whenever I was present. We always would hear some invisible person walking up and down the hall. One summer, one of my male cousins came over to stay a week with us. His first night, the entire night, he heard someone walking up and down the hallway and knocking on the walls of the hall. He was so scared that he had pulled the covers over his head and sweated so much that he had color stains from his PJs on his body and the sheets. He left the next morning and refused to ever come back to the house to stay with us. When I was 14 years old and home by myself, I was in my bedroom, listening to a 33 album of Kiss. I had Dad's old electric guitar, trying to teach myself how to play it along with the music. I had my door closed, and all of a sudden I started hearing someone walking, pacing the hall. Then it turned into running up and down the hall, and then the knockings on the walls started. Sometimes it was like someone had their fingernails running them down both sides of the hall, walls at the same time. I was getting a little scared by this time and contemplated going out my window to escape. It was getting dusk out. I screamed for it to stop, and all of a sudden, it did. I was a little relieved that it listened to me and had my back towards the doorway, standing by the window. All of a sudden, I started hearing breathing in the room with me. My door still closed, and I'm the only one in the room. I asked to stop again, but instead, it started getting louder and louder until it was right next to my left ear. I then felt the pressure of a hand on my right shoulder. The hand wasn't squeezing hard. It didn't hurt me, but it scared me bad. I felt pressure of every finger and the thumb, and it scared me so bad that I screamed, dropping the guitar on my bed and ran out of the house. I refused to go back inside until my family came home. My mom came home to find me on the front porch in the swing, shaking like a leaf. She asked me what was wrong, and I told her. She was very concerned and told me about the time she experienced the same thing at the house on Webb Street. I often think back and wish I wasn't such a scaredy cat. I'd have asked it what it wanted or if it needed help. Our house was the first one on that property, so no one is sure where the spirits may have come from. Grandma always told me I was a magnet for them. I didn't like hearing that when I was a kid. I lost my father-in-law in January of 1988. He was such a nice, kind, and gentle man and a great father. We all took it hard. My husband and I had only been married since September of 87. We were trying to have a child at the time of my pa's passing. We did a lot of soul searching, talking. In April of 88, I found out that I was pregnant. We didn't want to know what sex the child would be beforehand. My husband and I decided, with the family's blessing, that if we had a boy, he would be named after his late grandpa. In December of 1988, we were blessed with a beautiful little boy. He was everything we could have hoped for and very healthy. One day when I was home alone with the baby, I was down in the basement doing laundry. The washer was right below the baby's bedroom when suddenly I heard footsteps above me, stopped right at the baby's crib. I knew it was Pa, and I knew he had come to visit his namesake. I went upstairs with a peaceful feeling, knowing no one would be there, and I was correct. No one was in my baby's room, and he was sound asleep on his side. Often after that, I could feel his presence around the baby. I'd tell my husband, but he didn't believe me. He's too much of a non-believer of such things. I often have the insight to know when to talk to someone that it'll be the last time I'll ever get to talk to them again because they're going to die. It's happened to me twice. The first time, I was an adult married with a small toddler when I was on the phone with a coworker who was calling for my husband. I got a horrible sensation that it would be the last time I would speak with him. My husband and son went out to his house that evening. Later that night, he passed away. The second time it occurred, I was at work. A newspaper delivery lady came in and we chit-chatted for a few minutes. She looked at her watch and that's when the feeling hit me. I asked her to please be careful when she left, but I knew I'd never see her again. Right after she left, she ran a red light out of town by a truck and got hit broadside. She didn't die right away, but I know the exact time she did. Several hours later, I'm lying in bed trying to brush the feeling off. I already knew about the wreck and what happened to her. I go to sleep when a sudden feeling of extreme peace came over me. I looked at the clock, noting the time. Found out later that day, that was the exact time she had passed away. We moved into a different house several years on and the other side of town. We had purchased a house off a good friend of ours who was moving out of state. He loved smoking cherry pipe tobacco. Whenever we go on vacation, we'd stop at their house in Georgia to visit them. A few years after they moved there, he passed away of a massive heart attack. So many times after that, we have smelled at times that very same cherry pipe tobacco that he used to smoke. Sometimes it's during construction or remodeling projects in the house. In 2001, a day after Dale Earnhardt had died in that fateful car wreck, I was in my basement cleaning my die-cast cars in my hutch. I had the one door open and was really thinking about that wreck of sadness where his family's lost. As I started shutting the door, I saw the reflection of a young man behind me, a little off to my left side. He appeared to be around 18 years old. I could see him plain as day in the glass, and he was looking right at me. I have no idea who this young man was. I turned around to see no one there with me. Went upstairs to talk to my 12-year-old son to see if he was down there or knew who it might have been, possibly pulling a trick on me. He said no. He was the only one in the house besides me. It was not his reflection on the glass. Often I'll feel a presence in the basement, but I know it won't harm me. No one has ever died in my house. But the next door neighbor's house is another story. Young boy hung himself in the basement over there many, many years ago. I don't know if he is who I saw in the glass or if it was someone else. Mom and Grandma would always talk to my son about their experiences with the supernatural. My son is as interested in it as I am and loved hearing their spooky stories. To this day, he is still just as interested, and so am I. He also seems to have inherited the gift. My mom passed away in 2001, right before Christmas. I was the only one in the room with her at the hospital when she passed. I've been sitting with her for some time. I knew she was already gone, nothing but a shell of life support. The nurse came in to check on her vitals and told me that the breathing machine was the only thing keeping her alive. She had no sign of life at all. The nurse had called Dad at home. Dad told her to shut the machine off and that he was on his way there. The nurse came in and told me what he said and shut everything down and then left the room. I was in there when Mom took her last breath. There were no angels visible, no sign of anything. She was just gone. About 2 weeks after this, I was lying in bed trying to take a nap before going to work when I heard Mom call my name twice. It was her voice and her tone, but it was so soothing and filled me with such peace. I've heard her several times since then and have also felt her presence a lot. Sometimes while I'm thinking about her at night, a light will start flickering for no reason. There's nothing wrong with either the bulb or I. I've replaced both. It still occurs. There's also nothing wrong with the plug. It's occurred at times when Dad would be over visiting too. My grandma passed away a few years later after Mom. I often hear her, feel her near me. And so many dreams I've had with Mom and Grandma in them. They both are younger and so healthy, vibrant, happy. It gives me comfort. My nephew has joined the Air Force and we were having a family gathering at Dad's house. My nephew was always my late mom's favorite grandchild. During the party, I was standing in the kitchen taking photographs when I got the strongest feeling ever that Mom was present. I continued taking photos with my digital camera. It wasn't long after that that the feeling of her went away. I was looking at the pictures on the viewfinder when I saw something on one picture that made me gasp. The picture I took during the feeling of Mom being there shows the biggest and most defined orb I've ever seen in my life. The orb is right above my nephew's head in the picture, and not in any other pictures either before or after that one. To this day, I continue to have the sensations, feelings, and experiences of the supernatural around me. My cats also know when someone is around and let me know. They're not bothered by anything, and I think it's because Mom and Grandma were both cat lovers, just as I am. The end? Or is it?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.